Adrian Moles, old man friend,
of course,
who smokes Woodbines, is called Bert.
Do you know what? Let's make him the best Bert.
I think he is the best Bert.
That was Rick James with Super Freak. Hello, everyone. You listen to Future Radio 107.8 FM. Me, Tim Clare, is speaking to you now with my mouth. Words are coming out. And the guy over there looking, you know, relatively up for today is John Osborne. How are you, John Osborne?
Relatively. I'm on fire.
That's what I wanted to feel. I wanted to goad you into enthusiasm. I think Rick James is not a good name, John. I think one that I don't like people whose names are two first
like
names.
Tim Clare.
Yeah. So I realised as I said that not only have I
Alex got, James.
Yeah, Rick James just sounds. He sounds like a personal trainer.
Talking of names.
Yeah. Hey, hello, John. You smelt out the little link there. What are we doing in the show today, John?
The theme of today's show is people called Bert. Last week we were played Bert Jansch, the guitarist, and we thought that Bert was quite a cool name. And so we're going to profile some famous and less famous Berts.
Did you find, you know, like when you look at a word so much that you think, hang on, is that how it's spelt? Did you find that, or did you not get any Bert fatigue at all?
I found that I enjoyed the words Bert more and more every time I looked.
Me too.
Yeah,
it is a rich it's a rich word that keeps on giving. If anyone here is listening who is called Bert, then this is your show, and I mean that in the most literal sense. If you could get in touch with us, or if you know someone called Bert,
mates with a Bert.
Yeah, your mate.
Stepfather called Bert.
I think mates with a Bert is going to live on beyond this show as a feature.
That's the title of the podcast.
Because I like
Bert. White rubber ducky.
Excellent.
This is Richard Hawley. Disappointedly not called Bert, but okay with me.
Mary Poppins.
It's nice to see you again, Bert. I expect you know Jane and Michael.
Well, I've seen you here and about. Chasing a kite last time, wasn't it?
Mary Poppins is taking us to the park.
Birmingham counterattack desperately, but Bert Troutman pounces like a cat. And again. But what's happened? Troutman's down. He's injured. Teammates help Troutman to his feet. He tells the trainer he's all right, but the crowd can see his neck is hurting badly. Over Dave Ewing's head, and Troutman's game as ever. Injured or not, he's determined to pull his weight.
We have to learn to tolerate each other. We have to learn to put up with the fact that some people say things that we don't like. We can only live together in that way. And if we are to live together and not die together, we must learn a kind of charity and a kind of tolerance.
Thomas was waiting at a junction when a bus arrived. Hello, said Thomas. Who are you? I'm Bertie. Who are you? I'm Thomas. I run this branch line.
Nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role in a Motion Picture are Rupert Everett, My Best Friend's Wedding, Anthony Hopkins, Amistad, Greg Kinnear, As Good As It Gets, Greg Reynolds, Boogie Nights, John Voight, John Grisham's The Rainmaker, Robin Williams, Good Will Hunting. And the winner is... Burt Reynolds' Boogie Nights!
Now as the ladder of life has been strung, you might think a sweep's on the bottom most rung. No, I spends me time in the ashes and smoke. In this all wide world, there's no happier bloke. Chim chimini, chim chimini, chim chim chiri. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim chimini, chim chimini, chim chim chiri. Good luck, we're off when I shake hands with you.
How did you perfect the British accent?
I never did perfect it. Funny you should bring that up. I never got it right.
Oh my goodness, that was amazing. But there's nothing quite like I feel like in the morning my brain's just had a workout trying to comprehend Dick Van Dyke's Cockney accent.
It's amazing.
That was my Burt Megamix.
That was a brilliant John Osborne. That was fantastic.
I wonder if I'll get to use it again ever. Yeah. Possibly not.
Because I like...
Burt! White Rubber Ducky!
I hate Sesame Street.
Do you?
Yeah, I could never stand it.
Oh, John Osborne. Oh, you
made me feel ill.
Why did it make you feel ill?
Sesame
did you feel,
Street.
Did you feel patronised?
No, I felt bored. Rubbish stuff.
You're not gonna like one of my Bert profiles then, John Osborne, I'm afraid.
Bertrand Russell. He loved
it. Yeah, his bit on Sesame Street is so good.
Last night I put out an appeal for Bert-related stories.
The most important appeal. It touched the hearts of a nation.
I can't remember who sent this in, but they said they mentioned Kit Bertram of Bertram Books, who once spent millions on having Norfolk's power cables laid underground because he didn't want the beautiful countryside spoilt by pylons. Kate said that her granddad was a Hubert and was rescued from Scarfell Pike aged 84 when he slipped and broke his ankle. Hashtag Bert stories. There's something...
Scarfell Pike? What's that?
I don't know. There's something weird going on with Berts, though, in that they all lived to a ripe old age. Bertrand Russell was 98 when he died.
Good lad.
Kate's granddad was aged 84 when he slipped and broke his ankle. Dick Van Dyke, Bert from Mary Poppins, is like 88. Bert Bacharach is, I think, 86.
Good lad.
They all live until a ripe old age. Yeah, it's really good.
Starting to regret not being called Bert now.
Pongo Twizzleton said, on a first date in Albert Park in Middlesbrough, I jokingly threw the now Mrs. Twizzleton to the ground with judo. She cried. That's just a few Bert stories.
That is a few Bert stories.
Oh, yeah, anyway. Should we put a Bert-related song on?
Yeah, let's put a Bert-related song on. What do you want?
I'd like the PJ Harvey one written by Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht. Is it okay to have a Bertolt?
Yes.
Of course it is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, my wife suggested Albert Einstein last night, and I was like, I thought that would be
too tenuous.
Beyond the pale. Nobody called him Bert Einstein.
Bert Einstein.
Bert Einstein sounds awesome. He sounds like he has like an artisanal hot dog van. So my first one of my triumvirate of non-human Berts is Bert the Turtle. And Bert the Turtle was the star of the 1951 civil defence film Duck and Cover. Have you seen this?
I wondered who Bert the Turtle was when you mentioned.
Duck and Cover is like the American equivalent of, you know, that movie Threads, the post-nuclear apocalypse thing. It's the most depressing 10 minutes of cartoon I've ever seen in my life. Civil defence film Duck and Cover, advising American citizens what to do in the event of a nuclear attack. It was made by the US government shortly after the Soviet Union began nuclear testing. The film shows cartoon character Bert the Turtle, clad in an air raid warden's helmet, ducking inside his shell to avoid a monkey with a firecracker. The firecracker explodes. It's horrible. The firecracker explodes, destroying the tree. And the monkey that was holding it. It kills the monkey, but Bert is fine.
Good. We like it when Bert's are fine.
Yeah. He's a very likeable character.
Probably lived to the age of 88.
Yeah, he's still like around like today, surprisingly. We've got him on the phone. The film was mocked for advising children to hold a newspaper or picnic blanket over their heads to protect themselves from a nuclear explosion, especially as the Soviets deployed hydrogen bombs the size of railway carriages with yields so powerful they cracked the Earth's mantle. Bert the Turtle was seen as a way of simultaneously frightening and reassuring American citizens, keeping everyone afraid of the Reds while pretending that a global thermonuclear war could end in anything but fiery doom for the whole of mankind. That's me editorialising. But Bert the Turtle may not have been so ridiculous at all. I was reading about it, and now when they've done sort of... They haven't tested by exploding nuclear bombs on people, but actually modern simulations suggest that ducking to avoid shockwaves and covering exposed areas would drastically increase a person's chances of surviving by reducing burns and radiation sickness, although anyone within the 7.5 kilometre, a lethal radius of 25 megaton H-bombs would be vaporised instantly, and so wouldn't get the opportunity to complain or put this into practice. But would you like to hear a clip from it?
Yeah.
So this has got the... So you've got to imagine a black and white movie and a cartoon air raid turtle walking along at the beginning, and then it goes into a little live action bit showing some kids doing the various duck and cover manoeuvres.
Dum-dum, deedle-dum-dum, deedle-dum-dum, deedle-dum-dum. There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He ducked and cover, ducked and cover.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You. And you.
And you.
And you. Duck and cover.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover. This family knows what to do, just as your own family should. They know that even a thin cloth helps protect them. Even a newspaper can save you from a bad burn. No matter where we live, in the city or the country, we must be ready all the time for the atomic bomb. Duck and cover!
It is the most... if you like, the whole film is just a series of... Basically, as the film goes on, it kind of starts to say... normally you'd think that there'd be a bit of a warning about a nuclear attack, but actually they might just attack at any moment. So you've got to spend... And it's like lots of kids like cycling along happily with their friends, and then there's a nuclear flash in the sky and they all dive to the side of the road to avoid things. It was shown to... it wasn't meant for adults, obviously. It was meant for like 9 and 10 year olds, and it's basically saying at any time, like, and there's little cartoon pictures of like a house being completely blown to smithereens, trees falling down.
Well, I think that's a useful thing to show kids, not necessarily about nuclear war, but just about how brittle life is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have tied it into the chance of nuclear war increases exponentially if you're naughty. This child was naughty. Look, he got blown up. Time for Heroes by the Libertines.
Liberty, Bert.
Bert.
Because the theme of today's show is people called Bert, or the word Bert.
Yeah. My dad has messaged into the show saying, look at Bert Jansch's influence, Jansch's work influence, such artists as Al Stewart, blah, blah, blah. Al Stewart, Paul Simon, Johnny Marr, Elton John, Bernie Taupin, Jimmy Page.
Your boy's one hell of a beating.
Yeah, exactly. Nick Drake, Donovan, Neil Young, Fleet Foxes, are you listening? he says, please mention Ron Davis, who died last week, signed by Saints from Canaries in 1966, scored 37 goals in top division in 67. Maybe have a Ron week?
Possibly.
Yeah, I mean, Ron is a good name. But let's not start horning in on Bert's racket.
Absolutely.
Let Bert have his moment in the sun.
But I think the good thing about Ron week is that it's zero tolerance. Like, you're Ron or no Ronalds, no Ronnies. Ron.
Go Ron or go home.
Go Ron or go home.
So this is about the character Bert of friend of Ernie from Sesame Street. Bert from Sesame
Street.
Sesame Street. hang on. Bert from Sesame Street debuted with Ernie on November 10th, 1969. Though kind and intelligent, he is also grumpy, boring, and easily frustrated. Sounds like two gentlemen. I know. His catchphrase is, "Yes, I do mind."
it's a good catchphrase.
he enjoys activities such as paperclip and bottle cap collecting, cooking oatmeal, and watching pigeons. Producer Arlene Sherman has called Bert everyone's idea of a blind date. in one sketch, Bert reads a book called Boring Stories and chuckles, wow, these boring stories are really exciting. You're liking him now, John. You're finding points of empathy. In the book Sesame Street Unpaved, you didn't know that there was a tell-all biography of Sesame Street. Frank Oz says, I was never really happy with Bert's character until about a year in when I realised that he was a very boring character and I'd use that weakness as a strength. Bert has a pet pigeon called Bernice and is president of the National Association of W Lovers, a club dedicated to the letter W. And this is a bit from Sesame Street, and I feel like, John, you're going to reject it because you don't like Sesame Street. But when I read this, it might have been just because it was late and I'd spent the whole day researching Bert's, but it made me tear up a little bit. Sesame Street did a version of O. Henry's favourite famous short story, The Gifts of the Magi. This is when like a couple, a young couple are sort of like, it's Christmas time and they're saving up to buy each other presents.
You featured on this show before.
Yeah, which I did feature on the show, yeah. On Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, Bert decides to get Ernie a soap dish so that Rubber Ducky doesn't fall in the tub anymore and sink, but he has no money. He offers Mr. Hooper his paperclip collection, which is his favourite thing, is his paperclip collection. Offers Mr. Hooper his paperclip collection as a trade. Meanwhile, unbeknownst to him, Ernie decides to trade Rubber Ducky for a cigar box for Bert's paperclips. Mr. Hooper sees their sad expressions as they realise they've traded their favourite things to help out the other. And, touched by their friendship, he gives back Rubber Ducky and the paperclip collection as Christmas gifts and lets them keep the cigar box and soap dish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, John's not interested. John is resisting, but I'm sure there's some people in Radioland who teared up. Of course,
I would wager possibly not.
None. Mr. Hooper, and also showing the barter system. Doesn't work if you give the thing back that you got.
Who's your favourite character?
On Sesame Street, my favourite character is Prairie Dawn, who is a not one of the most one of the most prominent. Prairie Dawn is a kind of Southern Belle character who appears on Sesame Street. She puts on lots of educational plays about sort of like the Wind and the Rain, where she will narrate the play while playing a piano. And then various monsters looking kind of slightly sheepish will come out dressed as the sunshine or the rain, and they obviously don't want to be in it, and she's kind of like she's dragged them all into it. So she's my favorite, Prairie Dawn. I also like Guy Smiley.
My favorite's Eeyore. I
say a little prayer. Say a Little Prayer, Dionne Warwick, written by Burt Bacharach.
Lovely.
It's the latest in our Burt special song list. I want to talk to you about Burt Troutman, Tim.
Yeah, well, even if that was not the theme today, that would be a welcome conversational gambit. Go for it, Jonathan.
This is sort of the reason that I realised that Burt would work as a theme. I think as soon as you've got Burt Bacharach and Burt Troutman, it's fine. Because Burt Troutman has one of the most interesting histories of any living footballer. Possibly, well, let's not build him up too much. He's born in Germany between the wars. In 1933, he joined the Hitler Youth and became a paratrooper during the Second World War. He explained his actions by saying, if you didn't follow orders, you were shot.
He actually said, I was only following orders.
Yeah, he did. but also he was. He was,
and he didn't know he had a secret identity as Troutman.
So he was captured during the Second World War by the British and became a prisoner of war. And he played for the prisoner of war football team. He was in Lancashire, and he used to play at centre back, but for one game he had an injury, so he went in goal because he really didn't want to miss the game, because the team was getting quite popular and had crowds of up to 4,000 people coming along to watch like local teams against the prisoner of war camp. maybe a touch of schadenfreude as well. I'm sure not.
Which is a German word.
Thank you very much. He was released from prisoner of war camp in 1948, but decided to stay in England rather than go back to Germany.
Since he was going to be so popular at that time.
But he carried on playing football. And he had a trial at Bristol City, but they released him. And then at St Helens, and they had a friendly against Man City, who signed him up at the age of 26. And he replaced Swift, who was the Man City goalkeeper at the time, who's this hugely popular character, like jovial and likeable. And
it must have been really difficult being sort of like a German immediately after the war, replacing someone very popular.
I think that's an understatement. Man City fans and football fans in general sent hate mail. Man City fans returned their season tickets. There were huge demonstrations. So if you think about it, 1948, and Man City just signed this guy who'd been a prisoner of war.
Because now, looking back, that just seems like a really generous, actually like a really important thing in kind of building kind of like peace and
yeah
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what the team said. The team said forgiveness is important in life. And Troutman went to Jewish communities himself, making personal appearances to explain the situation, to explain what he's done, to apologise. And the locals touched him very quickly. He was clearly quite a likeable chap.
Is the turn of this that it turns out that he's been trying to resurrect the Third Reich in Manchester, and then it turned out that actually he was hiding Hitler.
Yeah, well, it was particularly hard for him when he played against London teams. The first time he went there, it was to play against Fulham, and they booed him, and there was like lots of opposition, especially from the journalists, because London had been so badly bombed during the war. But when he left the pitch, the crowd gave him a standing ovation, and all the players applauded him off because he'd been so good, because he was just brilliant. He let the football do the talking.
I suppose he had to.
Absolutely. And this is the reason that he is so well known. A lot of people know that this has happened to someone, that not necessarily that it was to Bert Trautmann. Where he was the first German ever to appear in a cup final. It was against Birmingham. Man City were winning 3-1, and he had a clash with the striker and was injured, and he thought it was a bit sore, and the physio gave him some smelling salts he carried on. And this footage is on YouTube, and basically he broke his neck.
Oh my goodness.
And he couldn't stand up. A lot of the crowd thought that like he just looked like he was drunk. He was like just staggering around, and he could barely stand up. And he's quite often used in parlance today is whenever a player sort of rolls around because they've been tackled strongly on their knee. Like Bert Trautmann played with a broken neck. The kind of thing that dads say. I'm sure that your dad has used the sentence, yeah, but Bert Trautmann played with a broken neck. And weirdly, he was diagnosed by Prince Philip when collecting the FA Cup trophy. Prince Philip and the Queen were there. And
oh, my goodness.
He said, you look like you've broken your neck. And it turned out that he had broken his neck.
Oh, my goodness.
He was the first ever goalkeeper to be awarded the prestigious Football Writers' Player of the Year, and the first ever German as well. He played 500 games for Man City, and he saved 60% of the penalties that he faced.
Wow.
Matt Busby, the Man United manager, told anyone taking penalties not to look at him because he would read what you were thinking and act accordingly. his testimonial, he played for a Manchester 11, sort of combined United and City against England that featured, so his team had Bobby Charlton and George Best, and they're against Stanley Matthews and Tom Finney. And he says that he still supports England even if they're playing against Germany. He recently received an OBE. He's currently 89 years old. He's old.
Oh my goodness, good for him.
And he lives in a small bungalow on the Spanish coast near Valencia, where he set up the Trautmann Foundation, which aims to use his example to improve Anglo-German relations through football.
The Trautmann Foundation is working to resurrect Hitler from his brain. That's amazing. You played up quite a lot beforehand, but that is a genuinely amazing story.
I was confident that anything that has triumph over adversity, prisoners of war, football. It's good for me.
Because we like trout and we like a man.
And anyone who can save penalties, that's quite impressive too.
Bert Raccoon. This is from The Raccoons. Brave, impetuous, boastful star of the animated series The Raccoons, which ran from 1985 to 1991. Do you remember The Raccoons and Bert Raccoon? I was going to do a whole bit about the backstory to Bert Raccoon, but I ended up losing a whole evening to the horrible fan-maintained Raccoons Wiki, which has far more information on the Raccoons than any moral human being ever needs to know.
Yeah, there's a certain mentality of big... people who are slightly geeky are very much attracted to the Raccoons, aren't they?
I think people who are sort of like manic and semi-literate. I think I was going to say it would be maintained by children, but I don't think anyone who's watching the Raccoons now, if they were a child, they must be in their 20s and 30s at least. I'll just give you an example from this is the Cyril Sneer is the bad guy for most of the series, although late in the Raccoons, he kind of becomes a reformed character. I think characters who are essentially greedy, normally in kind of like American TV, like Scrooge McDuck and Wario, funnily enough, always get kind of redeemed because we can't dislike greed too much. This is the section. There's like pages and pages. There's a section on Cyril Sneer in the Raccoons Wiki is bigger than the section on Shakespeare in Wikipedia.
Brilliant.
This came under. There's a whole section on his psychology. This is the section headed temper. Cyril is often seen losing his temper when the pigs mess up or his plans are foiled by the Raccoons and when he loses out on making money. When Cyril gets frustrated, he is seen pulling his ears in frustration, which Cyril has done four times in the series. In some episodes, when Cyril has got really angry and lost his temper with the pigs, his eyes goes bloodshot red, as seen in the season 5 episode, The Evergreen Election, where he chased the pigs after not winning the election due to the fact the pigs messed it up. Oh my goodness, it's all like that. And then every now and then, but there's another type of contributor on it who's like a really pretentious kind of like articulate person. There's obviously someone dropping things in who thinks of themselves as like the Raccoons expert. This is also from the Cyril Sneer section. Cyril has his own leitmotif of sorts, which plays during the portion of the opening sequence that talks about him, and also sometimes in the show itself during segments involving him or the pigs. Cyril, along with Bert Raccoon, are the only characters to have their names mentioned in the opening sequence. So, I really like Bert Raccoon. He's kind of like a... He's boastful. He's a bit like Mr. Toad in that he thinks of himself as kind of like he's a hero in his own mind. Hmm. But he's got a really... And often, actually, it wouldn't be Cyril Sneer who would get the characters into trouble, but Bert Raccoon, him and Cyril's nephew, Cedric, would sort of end up going on an adventure down an abandoned mineshaft and it would flood and they'd need rescuing. So, but I want to just use this as an excuse to play the ending music from The Raccoons, which was written by one of the cast members and performed by one of the cast members, and this is called Run With Us.
So I spent a lot of last night listening to different cover versions of Raindrops Keep Falling On My Head, the Burt Bacharach song. And there's some really...
I'm glad you gave that context. If people didn't know that we were doing a Burt-based show, it would just sound like you were really depressed.
Do you want to hear...
Have you made a Megamix?
I made a Megamix.
So this is loads of different versions of Raindrops Keep Falling On My Head.
I sort of... David Hasselhoff's in it. Ben Folds,
oh, wow.
Wilson,
yeah, I've heard that one, yeah.
Delroy Wilson, Hate Street Hippie Massacre,
wow.
Mummy the Peep Show, Jessalyn Huff, who's only had 12 hits. there's a GVM dubstep remix, the Manhattan Jazz Orchestra, Plastic, and the Bloke.
Oh, when you said
Steve.
Only 12 hits, I thought you meant she's only had 12 hit singles. You mean 12 hits on YouTube?
On YouTube,
wow.
Yeah.
Hello. The song I'm going to play now is called Raindrops Keep Falling On My Head from Bert Bacharach, and I'm going to play this song on a play-along guitar.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
raindrops keep falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling.
English origin, the meaning of Bert is illustrious, a boy's name also used as a girl's name, pronounced Bert.